the kids to say what day it was, and the only person I heard was Don answering that it's Groundhog's Day. So I'm just teasing. Love you, brother. All right, let's pray again. Almighty, holy, triune God, we humbly come before you this morning, and we thank you that you have revealed yourself to us in your word, that through your word we know that you have created the heavens and the earth. Through your word we know that you intricately and purposely and in a very beautiful and orderly way created all things. And I pray that as we look at these first 3 days of creation, that we would just pause and stand in awe of who you are. And would that stir our affections and our love for you? We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it's a joy to see you all this morning. I'm glad that we get to gather together to worship God. As we dive in, our words for kids this morning, I just have two of them today. Awe and form. And that actually works out well, Peggy. You always do a good job of getting things started for the kids, so I appreciate that. So awe and form are the words for kids this morning. And by way of reminder, kids, if you show me what you got, I got some stickers there waiting for you. We are in the beginning stages of a sermon series working our way through the first three chapters of Genesis. And so with that, you can take your copy of God's Word and turn with me to Genesis chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. Genesis chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. As you're turning there, I've been arguing for the last few weeks that we need to build the foundation of our worldview on Genesis 1 through 3. And that foundation is the theme for our series. And it is this: God created all things. Mankind sinned against God. God promises redemption. God will make all things new. Now at this point in the narrative, we're just in verse 3, but in verse 2, we saw last week that the earth was formless and it was empty, and darkness was over the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. That's the context of what's going to happen next here when we get to verse 3 and following. We're going to see God take the chaos and he's going to turn it into cosmos. He's going to give what was formless, he's going to give it form. And it's amazing how this passage all like flows together. It really is a beautiful passage. On day one, God is going to take care of the darkness. On day two, God is going to take care of the deep. And on day three, God is going to take care of the waters. So with that in mind, let's look at our passage together. Please stand with me to hear the word of God. Genesis 1, verses 3 through 13. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." And God made the expanse and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse. And it was so. And God called the expanse heaven. And there was evening, and there was morning, the second day. And God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind, on the earth." And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed according to their own kinds, and trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the third day. This is the word of the Lord. When Scripture speaks, God speaks. You may be seated. Over the last couple weeks, I've been arguing that we need to have a biblical worldview. And I believe that we need to have a biblical worldview first so that we would see the world through the lens that God wants us to see the world, and that is through Scripture. But I've also been arguing that we need to have a biblical worldview so that we would be able to stand firm when arguments are raised against the knowledge of God. And we can assume, not just assume, we can expect that there will be arguments raised against the knowledge of God, and we need to stand firm on the biblical worldview. I believe that wholeheartedly, which is why I'm doing this series. I believe that, and I also believe that it matters what we love, that it matters what we set our affections on. In other words, we need to see the world through the lens of Scripture, and we need to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. It matters what we think, and it matters what we love. Therefore, my goal this morning is that as we learn with our minds how God created, that we would grow in our love for Him. My goal is that as we study these first 3 days of creation this morning, that we would stand in awe of God. And as we stand in awe of God, my prayer is that this would stir our affections, that it would grow our love for our holy God. So my proposition this morning is, stand in awe of God. Stand in awe of God. Stand in awe of the God who takes the chaos and turns it into cosmos by giving form to the formless. Now there's probably a word in there, cosmos. That just means ordered world or ordered universe. And God really created things. It was really orderly, and so he took what was chaos in verse 2, and he gave it order, chaos to cosmos. And what we're going to see in days 1 through 3 is that he's going to take what was formless, and he's going to give it form. Now, in your bulletin, you maybe noticed that this is part 1. I got to Thursday this week, and I'm like, I don't want to preach for 50 minutes, so I broke this up into 2 sermons. So this is part 1. Next week, Lord willing, we will look at days 4 through the first part of day 6. So with that, stand in awe of the God who takes the chaos and turns it into cosmos by giving form to the formless. Last week, I briefly touched on the idea that God created everything visible and invisible, that God created the entirety of the visible realm, and God created the entirety of the invisible realm. Now, it's important to note that when we look at the creation account from Genesis 1 and 2, we are only getting an account of God creating the visible realm. We don't get a detailed account of what is happening in the invisible realm. This is God's perspective on what he wants us to know from creation. So, let's start with day 1. Look at verses 3 through 5 with me in your copy of God's Word. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. The passage begins, "And God said." When God chose to create the heavens and the earth, when God chose to take what was chaos and turn it into cosmos, when God chose to take what was formless and give it form, he spoke. He simply spoke, and at the sovereign power of his word, all things were created. At the power of his word, the chaos was turned into an ordered universe. At the power of his word, what didn't have form was given form. At the power of his word, he said, "Let there be," and it was so. This shows the almighty transcendence and power of our God, that he is so big and almighty and sovereign, and he is so outside and exalted above his creation, that at the sound of his voice, the heavens and the earth were created. Creation was effortless for God. It's not like he was working as hard as he can and he's tired and sweaty after a long day's work. No, he simply speaks all things into existence by the power of his word. Stand in awe of God for his word. And beloved, we have this powerful word right here. This word, God's word, is living and active. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. The word of the gospel is the power of salvation for everyone who believes. The word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. We have been born again through the living and abiding word of God. The word of God will accomplish everything that God purposes it to do. And God said, now, as we work through these days of creation, it's important to note that there is a formula or a pattern that is being followed for each one of these days. And here's the general pattern that's being followed. Each day begins with an announcement, and God said, followed by a command, let there be, and then the specifics of the command. Then there's a report, and it was so. Then there's an evaluation, and God saw that it was good, or when you get to the end of day six, very good. And then finally there is a timestamp, and it was evening, and there was morning, whatever day it is. So just keep this formula and pattern in mind as you work through these days, because what Scripture does all over the place is it refers back to a pattern that was previously used, and it breaks the pattern just a little bit. And it does that to highlight the difference in the pattern. And we'll notice this, Lord willing, especially when we get to the second part of day six in the creation of man and woman. Okay, but back to day one. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Remember, darkness was over the face of the deep. At this point, everything was dark, and then God spoke, and then there was light. And I can't imagine how bright this would be. It'd be kind of like someone walking into your room and turning the lights on when you're sleeping in the middle of the night. Except this would be a million times brighter and a million times more amazing. This light is the supernatural illumination of all of creation. And note, at this point, the sun has not been created yet. The sun isn't created until day four. This light is the radiant splendor of God himself breaking forth in creation. God himself is light. He's supernaturally filling his creation with his brilliance and his presence. The glory of God is being visibly manifested in his creation, and it fills it all with light. Stand in awe of the glory of God. Now, this is how everything begins, and this is how everything is headed. In the new creation, as described in Revelation 21, we see in verse 23 that there will be no need for the sun or the moon, for the glory of God will give it its light. There is a clear and deep connection between the first few chapters of the Bible and the last few chapters of the Bible. They are bookends. God is purposely starting and ending in similar places. And actually, I wanted to bring this out last week, but I talked way too long last week. But even in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. What do we see in Revelation 21? Then I saw a new heavens and a new earth. What we have in the beginning gives us a foretaste and a foreshadow of what's going to take place in the end. And this is why I added the last theme to our summary of Genesis 1 through 3, that God will make all things new, because we get a foreshadow of that in Genesis 1 through 3. And I don't know about you, but I just stand in awe of when I see how the whole Bible is put together. God is amazing. Okay, back to the light. And God saw that the light was good. God is making his righteous judgment on the light, and he declares that it is good. Then God separates the light from the darkness. And what we will see throughout the creation account, God is separating things. Now, if you remember last week, we looked at the Hebrew word bara, which means to create, as in Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created, God barad, so to speak. Only God baras, only God creates out of nothing. But another thing that bara means is to create through separation or division. And this is what God is doing here. He's creating by division. He's separating or dividing the light from the darkness. And we will see this a number of times throughout the creation account, that God separates the light from the dark, that he separates the waters above from the waters below, that he separates the day from the night. And when we get to mankind, the reason he creates woman out of the rib is because he's creating by separating. And then what's amazing is that he brings them back together through marriage. But we'll get there. For now, note that God creates through separating. He creates through division. And just a footnote here, when I think about this, and this is especially for kids, but this will be true for all of us. God created division. When God created all things, he used division. God created math. Or to say it in another way, math is rooted in God. 2 + 2 is always 2 because God is always God. Betsy's like, I did my math wrong. It's rooted in God, not in me, thankfully. 2 + 2 is 4. Oh, I purposely picked an easy one so that I would get it right. Okay, it's rooted in God, not in me. 2 + 2, just seeing if you're paying attention. 2 + 2 is always 4 because God is always God. 10 ÷ 2 = 5. Is that right? Yes, thank you. 10 ÷ 2 = 5 because God never changes. Numbers go on infinitely in both directions because God is infinite and God himself is eternal. The point is, math is rooted in God. And so when you do math, for whatever reason that might be, stand in awe of God. Okay, let's go back to the light and the darkness. No more math here. God separated the light from the darkness here at the beginning of the creation account. And now I don't have time to trace all the way through Scripture, but we see the themes of light and darkness all throughout Scripture. And what happens is when Jesus steps on the scene, John 1:9, it says, it refers to Jesus as the true light which gives light to everyone. John 1:5 says that he is the light that shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. So just as light and darkness were separated in the original creation, Jesus came to separate the light from the darkness as the beginning of a new creation, which we looked at in detail when we were in Colossians 1:18. But now all who belong to Jesus belong to the light. 2 Corinthians 4:6 says, "For God who said, 'Let light shine out of darkness,' has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." A lot more could be said, but let us stand in awe of Jesus, who reveals the true light of God to us. Okay, back to the text again. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. We see God giving names to the light and to the darkness. Now, in the ancient Near East, giving a name to something shows that you have authority over that something. So God giving names to the light and the darkness shows that he has authority over the light and the darkness. God is showing us, if it wasn't clear already, that he has the authority over the day and over the night as he gives them names. And then finally we get to the timestamp of the first day. And there was evening and there was morning, the first day. And we will see this timestamp for every day except for day 7. So that's kind of an interesting break in the pattern, but we'll get there. Now, I purposely spent way more time on day 1 because that sets the foundation in the pattern for the rest of the days. And because I haven't received an hourglass yet, which I'm still waiting for, by the way, but I haven't received an hourglass yet, so we're going to move through these other days a little bit quicker this morning. You could see how I had to break this into 2 because there's just so much amazing stuff in here. Okay, look at day 2 with me, verses 6 through 8. And note the pattern as we work through it. And God said, "Let there be an expanse in the midst of the waters, and let it separate the waters from the waters." And God made the expanse and separated the waters that were under the expanse from the waters that were above the expanse. And it was so. And God called the expanse heaven, and there was evening and there was morning the second day. We see a lot of the same things that we saw from day 1. We see God speaking, we see God separating, we see God naming, and we see the timestamp of day 2. So what is God forming through separating in day 2? God is separating the waters that are above from the waters that are below. The waters that are above are the sky. The waters that are below are the ocean, is the ocean. So God is separating the sky from the ocean on day 2. And it's amazing to see this, that even if you go to the ocean and look out as far as you can see, you can still see God's work of separating the sky from the ocean. And I put a picture here in my slides. And I apologize, this is like the best picture that I could find that zoomed up. So it's kind of pixelated. But you can even see that to this day, that God separated on day 2 the sky from the waters below, that is the ocean. And notice the division there. Like, it's just amazing. God is absolutely amazing. Stand in awe of God. Now, God called the expanse above, he called it heaven. And here again, we see God showing authority over these waters that are above by giving it a name. The word for heaven is just another way of saying sky, so he's referring to the sky above. He's not referring to the spiritual realm that we think of when we think of heaven. He's referring to the sky. So, on day 2, God separates the waters above from the waters that are below, and he calls the waters above heaven. And just because the waters below, that is the ocean, just because that isn't named yet, we see it formed here on day 2. And that'll be important when we get into our text next week. Okay, let's go to day 3, verses 9 through 13. Again, note the pattern as we work through it. And God said, "Let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear." And it was so. God called the dry land earth, and the waters that were gathered together he called seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, "Let the earth sprout vegetation, plants yielding seed, and fruit trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind on the earth." And it was so. The earth brought forth vegetation, plants yielding seed according to their own kinds, and trees bearing fruit in which is their seed, each according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning, the third day. So again, we see God speaking, and God said. We see God naming. We don't see the word for separated, but the idea is definitely here as he causes the dry land to appear, and he's separating the dry land from the ocean. We see God's judgment over day 3, and we see the timestamp. So what is God forming on day 3? God is gathering together all the waters that are below, and he's causing the dry land to appear. Before day 3, the whole earth is ocean. And now again, he's causing the dry land to come up and to appear. And God calls the dry land earth, which is another name for land, and he calls the waters sea. Again, we see God's authority over his creation by naming it. And we should just stand in awe of God's authority over his creation. Then in verses 11 through 13, we see extra details about how God forms the land. And what's happening here is this is what you can call a double creation account. And we'll see this also on day 6 as well. So day 3 and day 6 mirror one another. And actually the other days mirror one another as well, but we'll talk about that next week. In the extra details, we see God causing the vegetation. The plants and the fruit trees come up on the earth, each according to their kind. And God declares that this vegetation, these plants and these trees are good. So on day 3, we see God separating the waters below from the dry land. And the major focus of what God is doing on day 3 is he's forming and he's working on the dry land, the earth. All right, a lot more we could talk about, but in days 1 through 3, we see God giving form to the formless through the power of his word. On day 1, he forms by separating the light from the darkness. On day 2, he forms by separating the waters above from the waters below, that is the sky and the earth. On day 3, we see God causing the form land, or the land to come up, and then he separates the waters below from the land. And there's a major focus on day 3 on the land. By speaking, God takes chaos and he gives it form. And I briefly mentioned this last week, but isn't this what God does to our chaos? Think for a moment of what your life was like before you were saved. Now, if you were saved as a child, your life, as described by the Bible, was characterized by sin and rebellion and selfishness and hatred toward God. It was chaos. And if you got saved later in life like me, you know in greater detail the chaos of your life. But if you have been saved, God looked upon your little chaotic life and he saved you by his Spirit through the power of his word. And now God is sanctifying us, or he's forming us more into the image of Christ Jesus. And again, he does so through his Spirit by the power of his word. As we looked at a few weeks ago, that prayer from Jesus when he prays, "Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth." God is taking your chaos and he's forming it into something for his glory. God is taking your ashes and he's turning it into beauty. He is transforming you from one degree of glory to another, all through the power of his Spirit, through his word. And this is what God does. He gives form to the formless. Stand in awe of God, of what he is doing in us and through us. And by way of application, I encourage you this week to share with at least one person one thing that God is working, or one way that God is forming you more into his image through his word. Let me say that again, because I kind of fumbled through it. It's amazing that God wants me to like preach his word, because I'm a stutterer by nature. But by way of application, I encourage you to share with at least one person one way that God is using his word to form you more into the image of Christ. Beloved, our God is absolutely amazing. He simply speaks and all things come into existence. He upholds the universe by the word of his power. He perfectly and wonderfully created and ordered all of his creation. Beloved, stand in awe of God. Stand in awe of the God who takes the chaos and turns it into cosmos. Stand in awe of the God who takes what is formless and he gives it form. Stand in awe of God. And we need to stand in awe of God as we build our worldview on the foundation of Scripture, which is Genesis 1 through 3. And that foundation is, God created all things. Mankind sinned against God. God promises redemption, and God will make all things new. Let us not just think and know these things, but let us stand in awe of God for these beautiful realities. Amen? Let's pray. Oh God, we stand in awe of you for your creation. For simply by the power of your word, you spoke and all things were created. You spoke and you took what was chaos and you turned it into cosmos. You spoke and you took what was formless and you gave it form. And we can still see the beauty of your work in creation even today, even after the fall. I pray that we would stand in awe of you. God, I pray that we would not just know these things, although I do pray that we would know them, that we would think about them, that we would think biblically about all things. But I also pray that our affections would be stirred for you, that we would love you above everything in this world, and that we would stand in awe of you, that we would worship you in everything. Please help us to do this by the power of your Spirit through your word. For we ask this in Christ's name. Amen.